Hello, this is Michael Hautzeiger, your host for the Al Bielek Philadelphia Experiment and Montauk Project Program. You're about to hear an interview I performed with Duncan Cameron on February 2001. Now, it took me 6 months to finally persuade Duncan to allow me to interview him for this program. He is still recovering from the effects of Montauk, even after all these years, and is in the process of gradually recovering his memories. He doesn't have them all back right now. Now, many of the subjects discussed in this program will be difficult for the newcomer to grasp, since we really didn't have time to develop the context during the interview. I only had an hour with Duncan, so I tried to cover as much as I could. I recommend that you listen to Duncan's interview after you have listened to Al and Preston, Larry and Stuart. Those programs will develop the context for the information discussed with Duncan. Despite taking so long for me to get this interview, I really felt it was important for you, the listener, to be exposed to what he has to say. Therefore, I persisted in convincing him to be part of this program. There were many times he told me no, he wouldn't do it. But Duncan Cameron is the man who is described by Al Bielek as his brother, who was on the ship with him, the USS Eldridge, during the Philadelphia experiment, and subsequently the two of them jumped off and landed in 1983 and a few other places. He's also described as the psychic on the Montauk chair. He's described as one of the chief mind control programmers for the Montauk Project, and he is described as the creator of Junior, which is the monster that ultimately brought Montauk down. And now we transition to the interview. One thing I've noticed when one researches all this Montauk and Philadelphia experiment stuff is you don't give a lot of interviews. Not too often.
Yeah, that's correct.
I haven't found too many.
It's not that I'm particularly guarded, but I still try to pick and choose the words so there's less chance of being misconstrued, and something I'm very well aware of. It's from the get-go, it's what I call point for viewing and or interpretation. And right there, there's a tendency to, there's six or eight different meanings for the same word, phraseology, intent, that sort of thing. So try to just hone it in on it, and when the situation is just right, then go with it, you know.
So I guess you're saying you haven't found too many of the right situations over the years.
And truthfully, I haven't been that comfortable with it.
Okay.
Over the past few years, I've done a heck of a lot of cleaning and clearing and just try to come up to speed and some normal grounding, that sort of thing.
So here it is, 2001. We're sort of at the early part of the year. This is the second day of February, and it's been many years since the Montauk Project kind of ended. So I guess you're at the phase now where you feel comfortable in talking about it.
Yeah, much more settled with it, and just allowing whatever had taken place to kind of view it in hindsight as an event, and if there's an emotional charge on it, to just kind of look at it, and if it's out of the normal framework, then it needs to be delved into and or cleared or processed in some capacity.
Okay.
So in that sense, it's a whole lot easier being removed from it.
At this point.
Yeah, at this point.
Well, I think your name comes up, Duncan, in three references. The first is the relationship you have with Al Bielek, because Al talks about you as his brother. And then the other reference is the Philadelphia experiment and all the events that surrounded that with time travel, et cetera.
Sure.
And, of course, the most famous is the Montauk Project.
It would seem so. Or at least that's what's been talked of mostly, you know?
Yes.
And that's kind of the thrilling or event, what do they call it? Something is out of the ordinary. Unusual, and kind of the showstopper that usually, and that's most of my research, that at a later date I'll may share with you as to how it's necessary for people to witness events that have an emotional charge so they can attach to it or connect to it, and to help to process and relieve their own charged up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what movies and all sorts of things are. Anything, a phenomenon is what I was thinking at. Anything that is has a supercharge and has some degree of effect or emotion that has some degree of truth, and put all this together, and it's kind of like a doorway or an adjustment to say, wow, you know, nah, really? One of those things.
So is that how we should relate to Montauk, or was that the purpose of Montauk?
A number of different, yes, one of the considerations, some of the purposes, anything from exploring the pathways that any sort of living consciousness has the right to,
mm-hmm.
and whether it's done through through standardized prayer or focus, and or through amplification,
mm-hmm.
and it's that's my other study, as it has to do with the if it's not allowed within the framework, it can't happen, which is a fancy way of saying it's kind of self-serving philosophy. But it also is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's energy field. That's something I'll share later to you.
Okay.
The intelligence within the field,
mm-hmm.
and how, indeed, whether that the intelligence will take up people, places, things, and it'll put them where it's necessary to serve its own purpose. And depending how evolved that purpose is, that's something else.
So when you say whether it allows certain events to happen within its field. Some very bizarre events happened at Montauk.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the CD with Al Bielek has been out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about time travel and mind control, things like that. And I get emails back from people who have listened to those things saying, you know, who are we thinking we are God
mm-hmm.
and doing those things? So.
And that's certainly allowed, you know, to consider that.
Right.
And I certainly, I've had my times when I yell to the skies and shake my fist, and also in the same breath of the word, understood the framework of someone just testing any theory, trying to get back to something other than who they are. On a broader sense, and the downside is
mm-hmm.
power and control, compress. Contain rather than free up, you know.
So would you say the real motivating energy for the events at Montauk was power and control?
It would seem so,
mm-hmm.
truly,
mm-hmm.
to be able to be in the director's chair, to allow and or make events come in a particular outcome. And, of course, all that is, and I'm not trying to placate it or say they're right or wrong, it's just that that's part of who we are as humans,
mm-hmm.
and playing out the human factors of control and that sort of thing. So I don't necessarily agree what they did, but they were testing theories of mankind, and those who would allow to be adjusted and controlled, they would, through the undercurrents, connect with some of the subconscious and then have them come and do things. Interesting.
So would you say that time travel is part of the human experience, natural ability?
Oh, very much so.
Hmm.
Oh, very much so. It's something that can be and is a daily occurrence. It depends the level of consciousness a person is and their ability to be aware at the time when they're conscious. To be able to connect with whether a feeling or event and look into it rather than event, just an event per se. And, of course, the downside is over-analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And the upside is self-monitoring of one, how it interacts with oneself and others in the cosmos. So it's the kind of standard stuff, but in the framework of the mind, and that's something that I won't go into in length, and that's part of a lot of my research. his mind takes an event and puts it in a specific location for later recall. And you know where to put the keys in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know where work is. It's a finite location. And mm-hmm. anything outside the finite is the infinite, in theory.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's interpretation and point for viewing. Is the infinite, which where it goes past the boundaries. And that's where the healing comes from. That's where the grace, the fluidity, the light, the healing light, anything of that genre, it goes past the boundaries and will not be constricted or restricted by it.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately for everyone's sake, because then we'd all be in trouble. And the mind likes to take it and corral it.
Yeah.
Like beauty in the sky, let's take a picture of it. By the time you take the picture of it, it's gone. And the grace has passed, or whatever that essence of mm-hmm. purity, innocence that comes just kind of magical, you know. So.
You know, Duncan, I'm going to probably speak for some of the listeners. As they hear you talking, they're going to get a sense that this whole event at Montauk is far, far more complicated than the simple notion of putting a piece of equipment in place and traveling from 1983 to 1953. And that seems to be the basis of your work now, as I understand and as I listen to you talk.
Yeah, very much. It's for me, because there was so much programming involved.
Right.
That the programs were so seated, it was in the conscious, the subconscious catalog stuff and takes things that are in our face and takes them out so we can go through our daily affairs. And
mm-hmm.
then when the red star gets filled enough, you usually just percolate to the system and then someone can do as they please, put it out, away, deal with it, let it go, heal it, clean it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you look at it, just things in a sober event rather than one's little self as opposed to a more broad understanding outside the normal framework, which we understand, it's consequential in the same breath of the word. It has no consequences
mm-hmm.
because it's just part of the learning that we go through. But sometimes when one steps out of the framework, and that's my other source of study, is the guardianship that is involved when someone kind of breaks the mold, as to certain energy fields or forms or entities will go out and bring someone back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the duty of some of the guardianships of the mind and the earth and some of the time travel.
So would you say we broke the mold at Montauk?
It helped to move past the standardized construction we had been used to. So in that sense, it served a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It was done mostly through force, which The grace per se, which is the most gentlest and the most healing, truly didn't have effect, and the registrars seemingly have been so filled up. It's force is about the only way, and I put that in quotes because that's an illogical statement,
mm-hmm.
To get in, because it's so parameterized and boundaried up. It's so defense-oriented posture. To get in, you have to go in with force, and I put that again in quotes.
Okay.
So it did serve purpose. In the same breath of the word, there's a sad note to say, well, why do we still have to use force? And the answer is because we do, as a collective, you know?
Right. So was the force, the chair and those Delta T antennas, was that the force that got you into what you're talking about?
Actually, it was more just picking up the collective.
Hmm.
It's not that they necessarily did or wanted to, but by the nature you expand oneself, you go more person has a tendency to go more broad. And depending what they're playing with, and they play with the primitive part of
the mind?
Of the mind, the psyche.
Yeah.
That has a tendency to be very instinctive and very psychic.
Mm-hmm.
As the animals or some of the Sasquatch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tendency to collect with something more broad than oneself
mm-hmm.
because of the initiation of power and going past the normal boundaries.
Okay. Now the techniques, though, that they used, this force that you're talking about, Was it electromechanical techniques, or was it spiritual techniques?
Spiritual in the sense that they were engaging the spirit realm.
Yeah.
But not in the sense that we're familiar with, which is the church, the different, or I should say different churches, and I put that in quotes too, mm-hmm. or gatherings of people in the culture through prayer or thoughts, you know.
Right.
So in a sense, it was very spiritual, but testing the realms in a way that some only kind of dare to, and of course there was very self-invested thoughts involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And long run, they'll serve a purpose, and it helped to move past the barriers. Though in reality, we all could and still can just move through grace, rather than having to, as a collective, use the force in order to provide a service, in order to move its path in a realm of realms, or a 3D, which we're here, or collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It can't happen unless it's part of the energy field.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what you're alluding to, Duncan, is that something very bizarre happened.
Indeed.
And what happened, there are consequences upon consequences as a result of it. But how was it that, say, a group of people, and on previous programs they've been described as the German scientists who were brought over by Operation Paperclip, there seemed to be a group of people who stumbled onto some technology, in a sense, that allowed them to do time travel and mind control.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, just based on your understanding, how did this whole thing come about to where they had now the technology and the power to do what they did?
You know, specifically, I've often wondered about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a lot of hunches other than what I keep going back, which makes sense, the collective, and researching the electron. And that has to do with any sort of being, depending what state of evolvement, where they're, when they're asleep, they're not conscious of, typically, of their surroundings. Upon awakening, they realize there was something happened in them, and there's stimulus. And the stimulus, depending where it goes and how developed it is, will eventually lead them into exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And that exploration, whether it's the electron in the body or electron-like field, it's a logical advancement into study.
Mm-hmm.
And what man seems to do is very succinctly is to dissect something in order to try to put it together to make it work well, which is the exact opposite of grace, where it's together and it's there for the asking rather than just, and I'm not saying, I'm talking man as a collective trying to understand things.
Right.
Because possibly the essence, the creator, the God, the nature is so full and broad, try to understand just a piece of it and then put the pieces together. So in that sense, it's understood, you know.
Sure. Do you have many memories, though, of that those events?
Some. I usually have to read them, per se. I'll have to go to the different registrars other than paper and pencil, my own, and try to, on the esoteric or exoteric level, just kind of look and see and get a feel for it, and then try to put things together.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a hit and miss, and other times it's right on, you know.
So were a lot of those memories erased from you?
Kind of. Erased through force, per se.
Right.
And also my own mind structure providing a service for me, so it's not in the face at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as conspiracy oriented as some of the fellas speak of, or as some of the ladies too.
Right.
Just it's a combination of everything, and it's not just one. If it is, then it's one sided and a bit shortcoming for the whole, you know.
Sure.
The whole picture, or at least part of the whole picture, shall I say.
I hear you. Well, I guess the most famous thing is this chair, the psychic chair, and you're described as being one of the principal psychics who was controlling that chair. Do you recall any of that at all?
Some it's more just an event per se that I recall.
Okay.
I would presuppose there were others. Logic says it would be, and whether I was number one or number 52 and number 52, I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
In the same breath of the word, for me in my development, I've gotten past the point whether it's number one or 52,
mm-hmm.
it's okay.
Sure.
Not in the sense that I was there, but to try to relieve the emotional charge attached with being one or two or last or first, and that's a way to graduate out of standardized earth place 3D right wrong left right process of up down. It's more the tendency to relieve it quicker rather than spending time in on it,
right?
And get kind of caught up or consumed by the event rather than accepting it and trying to go on and put it in some sort of perspective, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what sort of perspective should we put it in, Duncan?
You know, that's something I've been not really wrestling with, but kind of figuring out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got 3 or 4 or 5 different answers. one from the psyche, one from the mental, one from the emotional, one for the spirit realm connecting to the outside and the outside. So when it all comes together, I'll let myself know and everyone else.
So I'm assuming you're still in the process.
Yeah, in the process.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like much of everyone.
Uh-huh.
Just being conscious of where one R is.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. One R is, and the R development, you know.
Well, we're always developing, you know.
Hmm.
Now, did this project, to your recollection, did it end in the 80s?
Yes and no on some of the physical realm. I get a sense that it did. Also, Al and I have tracked it up into the French Alps in the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
Just on a psychical level. After that, that's a good question. There's been some theories bounced around that some of the research up in Alaska, Nick Bevage, Beckett,
I've heard the name.
Nick, something like that.
Yes, yes.
Begich,
or right.
But it's a carry-on process of that, and of course it's all...
Are you talking about the HART project?
HART project.
Yeah.
High atmospheric radiation particle, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah.
There's been theories that it could stem from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's possible. And
well, it seems like Al has some pretty clear, crisp memories.
Yeah, he's right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I like that because it's a mind function that is able to hone in right smack where it needs to be, and that's quite fantastic.
Yeah.
And I can learn from that. In the same breath of the word, I'm my training is to become very much part of something.
Right.
And I rather like to not stand outside of it, but become more broad so I don't kind of get consumed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And spend all sorts of time in there. And I've got some memories, and, you know, they'll come out and probably later time, you know, if we talk
mm-hmm.
of things, when I start getting into another interview more in depth about my understanding of mind and health and that sort of thing.
Right.
That they're there, but for kind of a short interfacing here, it would spend too much time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just as an overview, you know?
Yeah, I think the major things people are looking for, when they hear Al talk and they, you know, I've also interviewed Stuart Swordlow. Did you know Stuart?
Yes, Stu lives on the island here.
Did you know him during the project at all?
No. Darn if I knew Al. Any of the boys there are gals.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
Most people, I would say, they have listened to Al Bielek speak, and Al is extremely articulate.
Very much so.
And he has, I've found, stirred up an incredible amount of emotion in people.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are looking for is some corroboration. Not just from him, but from someone else who could say, yeah, you know, the Philadelphia experiment did happen. Time travel does happen. Mind control does happen.
Mm-hmm.
The events that Al talks about at Montauk were true.
Yeah, that's my research right there, is how the mind locates it and puts it in a specific location, you know.
Yes.
And how someone is able to hone in on it, and or through voice or becoming grounded or into it, depending how a person is witness to it. And just a different inflection of the voice,
mm-hmm.
or an enunciation, or some ability to understand or become the truth, whatever that truth is at the time, to an event, other people can witness to that. And it's really important to have something other than themselves to say, hey, this could have happened, and maybe take a look at it, because it involves everyone here, not just some of the players and participants. It's part of who we're all connected to on a collective, and we all kind of allowed this to happen. So, hey, maybe we can find a better way.
Well, that is the greatest fear, that as I've talked to people and they've listened to the interviews of, say, going back into time and re-engineering the past, they struggle with that concept in their mind.
It's a toughie, but in the same breath of the word, there are certain players that go back to the energy field that are placed and put in certain locations to do work or duty.
Mm-hmm.
So as part of the collective, we all can do a little something to say, hey, well, I wonder if I'm going to get pulled back and do this, or if I change this. And it's just an explanation of how things are so interrelated,
mm-hmm.
and how one person and or an event can change things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a stimulus, but in the same breath of the word, there's a tendency to have the shock or the excitement or that opening of the parameter or the framework for which we keep healthy,
mm-hmm.
to open kind of quickly. Kind of without regards towards anything. And in that opening, there's a tendency to be exposed, and the body and mind will semi-go into a shock-related system, because now the boundaries for which it's been conditioned to,
mm-hmm.
and understood are now not there, and there's a tendency to become open and tentative,
mm-hmm.
and the extreme would be fear.
Yes.
Depending how someone is wired, but in the same breath of the word, and that's my other research, I'll go into it another time, is to, in the opening, how it's a very natural state, and and that's who we are, we're innocent and pure from the get-go. It's all the learned and acquired that we've, throughout, in my own understanding, I believe in incarnation and different life forms and functions,
mm-hmm.
that we acquired this registrar of events in our mind,
mm-hmm.
to allow certain frameworks for which to work with, and not necessarily be dictated by, but to draw for education and wisdom.
Uh-huh. So perhaps one of the purposes of this this interview and this CD that we have with Al is to perhaps change some paradigms.
Well said. Well done. Yeah, just as simple, I've said 15, 20 minutes worth of words here, and you just said it right there. Neat and concise and clear, and see, uh-huh. I'm trying to complicate it already.
Well,
all I have to say is well done.
You know, I think about...
Wait a second. I'll get the mic and put you on interview. you got the answers.
Yeah, but I don't have the fame and fortune that you have.
Yeah, well, again, that's an attachment.
No, that's a joke.
Yeah, right. Good thinking. Good, thank you.
I was thinking, though, as you were describing what you just did, is of a child who comes into this world, and they don't have answers. They live in a world of wonder.
That's it.
You know, wide eyes in wonder, and there's no parameters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I'm hearing you say is we get older, we parameterize everything, and you're trying, and perhaps this is one small part of it, is to get back to that state of wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Because the parameters we have put on it are not necessarily correct.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
And so let's explore some of those things. So in your mind, would you say it is indeed possible to go back and change a major event like, say, Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy?
In theory,
mm-hmm.
let me try to explain this the way which I can understand it and relay it.
Okay.
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that it is possible on paper to do such a thing with a collective understanding and development, and probably not plausible in the sense that it's an event that truly had that's part of our framework and our development.
Mm-hmm.
It would almost be negating it. So in the sense that the collective seemingly can move past the framework of the understanding or the events which has helped structured its development and future and moving ahead, and to be able to negate or change a situation probably can occur and does that we're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the collective man collective, but the development for which they move through, and that's my other studies, is the structure of reality and how it's based and the different forms and such, as to the guardianship there and when situations come in. Sometimes so do the registrars we all go to for referencing. They do change. It's not that they're gone, but they're kind of set aside. So someone on a very instinctive level who says, let me check this,
mm-hmm.
whether they're checking themselves or the different registrars around the earth or et cetera, et cetera. If they go very quickly, chances are they'll pick up something which is very right there, almost like the someone that goes into a bike shop and says, look at that great color, and they take it home and it falls apart. It's about someone goes in and says, wow, great color, and this and this. You go into it a little more in depth, and realizing, wait a second, there's something here which is a little unusual. I recall doing this yesterday, and it didn't happen. Registrar comes in, changes the events, and it actually changes one's, sets aside one's memory and such.
Hmm.
And that's a little, it can be a little scary, but in the same breath of the word, it's standard. It's standard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just, again, it's just seemingly part of reality and structure and energy fields.
Mm-hmm.
So things do happen, and the fun part is when you get through one's own stuff, the concerns or fears or just the emotional kind of baggage we all have, seemingly as an individual collective, there's a tendency for the awareness to come up to when an event happens to say, oh, this is really neat. This is, wait a second, what happened here? Oh man! Did anyone else see this? Did anyone else just witness just what happened here?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a star or an event or a local reality shift, it's just that's the fun part about cleaning house, to be able to witness it directly, and then it registers as quote unquote truth for the instant, and that's the upside about cleaning house, is to be able to be right, Johnny on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Or Johnny with a Y or IE, depending what Johnny.
Well, there seems to be two kinds of consciousness, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you have the individual consciousness and then the group consciousness.
Right.
And let's go back to this Kennedy scenario I said. I mean, if indeed we were able to go back and change that event, then the entire group consciousness would have to be completely changed from there on out, right?
Seemingly so. In theory, if it's that important to the shifting of the collective,
mm-hmm.
In actuality, though, that event could be shifted out and there'd be no such event per se.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be often in another reality or dimension or timeline, or form of energy. There's a lot of interpretations on it.
Sure.
But indeed, if someone were to check the registrars, and that's one of some of the mystics and the, I hesitate to use the word cult because there's so many misunderstandings regarding it, or those outside the normal framework of church and state and organizations, you know. Some of the groups, they have the history other than what we've been taught as to some of the events that have gone through the collective that haven't been recorded. And that's kind of interesting.
Okay, so you're saying that the event would still be recorded, but we would shift dimensions?
Possibly, depending upon what charge is involved in that.
Right.
And how much of a turning point and of a necessity, and I put that in quotes, it is to the energy field in order to shift out. And this is highly interpretational, as I speak for sure, because it's just my own theory.
Okay.
And it may not support any math and or metaphysics and all that. It's just be going, all that says metaphysical is just going beyond the physical, you know. It's a theory just having to do with energy fields.
Okay, so
yeah, it's
a maybe then, right?
Beg pardon?
I guess the answer is maybe. As far as being able to go back in time, change the event, and having the mass conscious change instantaneously, to whereas 1 second I thought Kennedy was killed, and then the next second I would say, oh, I remember him as a two-term president.
Yep, right.
And it's based upon whether the all these things you described would allow it to happen.
And about 99% more education and wisdom added to it. Other than just the thought process, was the little me brain is trying to figure out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. However, what is troubling is when I interviewed all these other people, they said, oh, yeah, we did that on a regular basis. We changed the outcome of the Civil War. We went back to World War II, and we went to a different dimension and saw what would happen if Hitler won. Found out that wasn't too good, so we had to go back and change things and make sure he lost, etc.
It's very possible. I'm not saying it can't be, but it doesn't support the level of energy dynamics that I'm familiar with.
Okay.
And
so you don't recall being part of any of those projects then?
Not specifically. And my understanding that it would shift out of the registrars and the collective, and it may not have, they may have been able to do it per se, but the information is still there that it did occur. It doesn't fit group dynamics to negate an event, period, and wipe it out.
Okay.
It's registered somewhere.
But whether our conscious...
Whether the conscious and our reality accepts that,
right,
and then takes effect in the physical here, that's plausible, you know. But it still registers somewhere.
Right, right. Now, do you believe that there are many, many different dimensions, parallel universes?
Logic says it does. I have my own. When I project out, I go through certain guardianship or frameworks or parameters, and then go 360, which is outside structure, would be the local guardianship or God force. So in that sense, I can testify, put that in quotes, or support that theory that there's something other than just us here.
Other dimensions.
Other dimensions, and the same follows with going down into the subconscious. And that's something, as I said, sometime if we get to it, we'll go into it in depth.
Okay.
Understanding a presentation of how the mind works, and that certain parts of it, our mind and structure, sees other than this old physicality.
Well, that would be a lot of fun.
It is fun. And actually, it's standard stuff, and everyone goes through it daily, but the level of consciousness to be able to understand and witness at the time just isn't there.
Yeah, it's sort of like when we're driving, we don't think about driving, we just do it.
Well said, yeah.
Right, right. So in your opinion, there could be parallel universes?
Sure.
And in that, I'm saying, you know, I'm Michael here in this universe, but there could be one right beside it where there's another me operating on a whole different level. Because that is what they've talked about, especially in time travel, is the importance of when you go forward and backward that you get the right universe.
Yep, that's correct. Makes sense.
Logic. Logic says yes, that makes sense, but from an experiential point of view for you, Duncan, did you have any experience with any of that stuff, to your recollection?
Yeah, and matter of fact, that's something that... if I go into it, I'll probably go into it in depth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of my research that I just kind of think I'll just save.
Okay.
And for another day, you know?
Sure.
And it's interesting, and it's kind of fun if the psyche and the body are prepared for it in a way that is truly for one's health welfare.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's not correct. It would be done through force and without regard to the human factor. And that's the downside of that.
And that's what happened at Montauk, right?
They were experimenting with force.
Right.
And through amplification of one's own psyche and natural abilities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in theory, anyone could be put in the chair and developed and have wild things done. That's the fun part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you weren't special then, huh?
In a sense, no. There were certain abilities that the group did understand, certain tendencies for putting events and linking events together, and that, in a sense of the word, it's the daily events, putting things up and juggling 5 or 8 things during the day, or listening to the TV and the stereo and radio at the same time, and kind of understanding that. And in a broad sense of the word, how broad events are linked, or mechanically or dynamically. So in that sense, they were very understanding of spirituality and how to place certain people to get what they want.
And where do you think this understanding came from? I mean, this is not something you read about in a high school book.
Logic says it would be something more broad than the development of mankind at the time, per se. It would be some energy field or intelligence outside this dimension, per se, to have things just whoop, open up in a quick.
Yeah. Would you say it's extraterrestrial?
Off this planet, yes.
Off planet.
Yeah, logic would say that.
How about Duncan? Would Duncan say that?
I got 3 or 4 answers, just so like I did before.
Well, pick your favorite one.
Yeah, I go back to the answer. You know, it's like, it's just logic says because it fits group dynamics.
Yeah.
When I do, I get into it a little bit too much, and I get kind of, not consumed, poor choice of word, but I get into it too involved, and there's too much emotion.
Yeah.
In a sober light.
Yeah, well, let's just kind of take it lightly, because one thing that I certainly sense that you do is you look for the meaning behind the meaning behind the meaning. Right.
I do.
The bigger picture.
It's very life-supporting that way, so I can truly understand my own truth,
mm-hmm.
whatever the truism at the time, and that's true. It's as fickle as the emotions that come with being human, you know?
Sure.
Changeable.
But I know we will confuse a lot of people as we dive into these deep levels, because obviously you've gone through lifetimes of getting to this level. And a lot of people, perhaps this might be the first time they've ever opened up to consider some of the concepts which you're presenting.
Hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I have a number of responses to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right away there's an opportunity to do whatever in the situation,
mm-hmm.
and logic says right away is try not to stir up any concerns or fears,
mm-hmm.
because any doorways that might be open there's a tendency to be hesitant. So whatever I can do or say for any sort of healing or continuous energy or support of saying it's okay to feel what you're feeling in a situation which comes up, which is brand new, that's what I would say, which is some of my other research in pure when I say that. It's my own word, psychology, is to be, it's okay to be where you are in whatever you're doing because that's where you are. Mm-hmm. Kind of circular reasoning, but it's very supportive to say whether you're in the jungle digging a ditch, you know, you're protected and loved, or you're out in Wall Street, or you're we're having this interview.
Yeah.
It takes the charge out of should I, shouldn't I, all the different mm-hmm. mind functions that happen that comes with just one event.
Mm-hmm.
All the multiplications of emotions and logic and that just going into one specific location.
Right, so it sounds like for you there is a whole bunch of emotions still tied up with this Montauk experience.
Yes, they did use Druid philosophy, which is layered presentation of one thing in that structure. Yes, because there is multitudes of layers of things having to do with this Montauk.
Mm-hmm.
And to say it isn't, and I have a tendency to act things out because I'm empath,
mm-hmm.
or tendency to be empath or the sameness, and there is a host of emotions, and when someone comes upon it, if these emotions come up, it's okay because that's what they were investigating, emotions and the reactions and logic. It's a whole something which we have in with our structure was amplified, and it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when it's witnessed to a person, things may come out in the voice.
Well, what would, I guess, emotionally be hard for me to deal with if I was connected to Montauk? Are all of the boys, this Montauk Boys program, where it sounded like they were experimented upon and they were put into the tunnel and many of them disappeared, in a sense. What's your recollection of that whole program?
I have some recollection.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first times when I get near it, and I think it's on a tape that Preston made, which I'd rather not market or speak of in actuality, because even though someone will say, oh, look at this tape, he's got that. Because it was rather personal what I went through, mm-hmm. and I felt somewhat violated that he had that on tape and presented it, because it was something that was very emotional for me and helped and held him. Is just to cry, to start to cry, because of feeling one's own self-involvement and also the loss that's involved and the abandonment that comes with feeling the hopelessness
mm-hmm.
in some of the experimentation.
The loss of life?
Loss of one's health and welfare and structure and instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. and all that goes about with having healthy living and healthy boundaries, you know,
mm-hmm.
as we move through, and the violation and goes with that. And of course, that's the human level. And on the other level, it's those who were involved in it wouldn't be involved in it unless they were necessary to be there.
You mean, for instance, the boys, right?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of it's one of those dual things that.
Yeah.
The day someone dies, you know, whether it's the boys or just understanding the contradictions, the seemingly contradictions that are there, and just try to mm-hmm. understand them, put them in the correct parameters, and that's a toughie.
I've heard that described many times before when people talk about, say, UFO abductions. They say that the extraterrestrials have already gotten a soul contract, so to speak, that while the individual was out of their body or before they incarnated, they agreed to be part of the experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when they come down here, they tend to forget these things.
Well said.
And so you think that the same thing happened with the events that surrounded Montauk?
In the sense that part of their psyche had been engaged for service,
mm-hmm.
And the way to move through or move ahead or break, and I put that in quotes, having break a contract or understanding or volunteering for, is to become conscious of it and understand what level it was installed in and where it was. How conscious and all of oneself is there that when this agreement was made, on what level and what were the circumstances? And if a person can get to that, 9 times out of 10, they can go, yep.
They understand.
Contract is null and void. I'm out of here. And
oh,
that's the part where being conscious is the deal. And that, in a theory, the collective to move through that to say, wow, excuse me, this stuff I did volunteer and agreed for, attached to this level, you know, I got it. I really think I got the message or the experience here. And most all the time it semi-evaporates. If you go to the truism, whatever the truth is, mm-hmm. of the core of the nucleus, whatever it is, and if you get in deep and you truly understand it, man, it goes as quick as that.
So I would assume what you're saying, Duncan, is that 99% of the time we are unconscious.
Well said.
Because we're not consciously aware of the other part of us that's really making all these deals.
Mm-hmm. And, right. And in the same breath of the word, we still need that, and it's okay to be 99% unconscious because that's where we are,
mm-hmm.
rather than and start going out of body through constriction. No, it's we're exactly where we need to be, evidenced by that's where we are.
Right.
Real simple kind of understanding. It takes the charge out. Well, should I be here? Should I not be here?
So with that understanding, then, Duncan, that you've gained, why do you still have strong emotional attachments to the events surrounding the Montauk Boys?
Oh, it's because I'm human, and there's something that still needs to be reckoned with,
mm-hmm.
and dealt with on an emotional level, and settling it per se, mm-hmm. and some of my own wrestling with just being human, you know, and why did I get part of it and that sort of thing, trying to get to the truism of that specifically so I can graduate from it and boom.
Let it go.
Yep.
Okay, so you're not quite at that point yet.
Oh, on certain things, yes, but specifically having to do with that, I'm pretty close. I'm getting there.
Are you?
And that's, you know, that's some degree of mastery I'd like to understand, mm-hmm. on a mental level, and then to be able to enact it in all levels of the mind, mm-hmm. and put it into infinite and call into grace and boom.
There it goes.
Yes, sir.
Well, one of the most famous events at Montauk is this so-called creature named Junior. And I don't hear you chuckling, but, you know, you look in the books and you see a picture of this Sasquatch, I
mm-hmm.
guess that's how you say it, sort of frozen in time.
Mm.
And as people discuss Junior, of course, it starts out with the name Duncan Cameron.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Curious, isn't it?
It is curious.
Well,
can you give us any perspective on that?
Just a tidbit.
Okay.
Because that's actually some of my own research I spend a lot of time in. They were experimenting with some of the primal energies. Some of the elementals within the body and the structure,
mm-hmm.
And also within the mind. And at times, some of those energies will connect with something more and great than oneself. So at times, things and thought may come to the physical form. And sometimes that occurred, sometimes it didn't. And that can answer some questions about Junior. I'm still a little hesitant to talk about it because there's still a couple of pieces to put together.
Okay.
And then when I do, I'll be right ready. I kind of danced around that one, didn't I? I don't know how well, but I did. It was more like a cha-cha rather than a marumba.
Well, you hear me laughing.
I know. It's like, all right, you know, next time, give me the lowdown.
Well, my thoughts on that was Junior was your ticket out of the program.
Yeah, simple as that. I like to, hey, would you like to ride shotgun with me?
I think I am.
I think you're right, sorry.
I mean, as simple as that. That was
thanks for, again, it's taken me 15 minutes. You just 2 minutes. Thank you. That's kind of you to simplify things.
Well, you're welcome.
I took it out. Thank you.
Yeah, that was your ticket out. I mean, it was...
It provided service, and wow.
That's right, and I don't know whether you consciously conjured him up or subconsciously, either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He served a purpose of ending what needed to be ended and getting you the heck out of there.
Right.
Right?
That's right. Matter of fact, I'm taking this little electrical tester here.
Yeah.
Have it plug in the wall, you know, see, and just running all over everything, thinking it's Junior, you know, just having a great day. Going over this with the phone and everything. You know,
well.
There's one, there's three.
Okay.
I'd love to do that.
There you go. Well, I tell you what, I saw that picture in the book, by the way.
Mm.
And if that creature came out of your mind, then I don't know if I want to hang out with you.
No, I don't know if I want to hang out with myself. That's mean, ugly, and nasty, and I'm scared.
It's a pretty hairy guy. Now, one of Al's best friends was this fellow named Dr. John von Neumann. And, boy, he talks about him a lot.
Doesn't he?
A lot.
Yeah, I like the lampshade at the parties. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's a fun one.
Do you have any recollections of him?
Not a whole lot of heck anything.
Mm.
A lot of my short-term memory, metaphysically, just kind of isn't there.
Gone.
Some of my long-term, it's registered somewhere, that's for sure. And it's usually, it's registered on... Oh, same emotion or frame of motion, and for me to key in and kind of mind control oriented stuff, I get a little bit discombobulated by it.
So you think that's covered up by mind control?
Or mind control like.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the particular state of consciousness I was in, mm-hmm. I wasn't specifically very conscious in an altered state. And those registrars are there, mm-hmm. but in the same breath of the word, it's allowed me to find different ways to remember other than standardized within the body, with around the earth and some of the different librarian zones, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, were you in that state most of the time?
It would seem so, though a number of people have recalled me being very cognizant and cocky.
I've heard that.
And it's possible. It doesn't kind of fit my my profile, though.
Yeah, because if you were in that state, I mean, how would you eat? Or
yeah, that's true.
You know, it seems like you couldn't have been in that state to the degree you think you were.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. There has to be some.
So there must have been quite a bit of.
I must have had a life somewhere along.
You had to have had.
Right.
Do you recall any friends from that period of time?
No.
Almost all blank, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Well, now I see why you're a little angry about it.
Yeah, that's part of the referencing in this reality,
mm-hmm.
is the mind. Keep people in 3D brain in this structure without drifting off is you know, structure of this, that, and the other, and help the mind record things after certain mm-hmm. time periods that just don't have a good cementing on it. There's tends to scratch your head and say, well, what the Sam Hill's going on?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's another famous guy named Jack Pruitt, who is apparently the station director.
Yeah.
Any memories of him?
No, other than just when we were out there, we affectionately, and put that in quotes by all means,
mm-hmm.
Named it JPU, Jack Pruitt University. So there it is. That's about as much.
Okay, but so just tiny fragments or no memories of Jack?
The name rings true. shall I say. I interpret the name as being, or his vibration connected to that project.
Okay.
It seems to fit.
But you and him didn't go out for beers.
No.
I
mean, yes, I didn't go out for beers. I'm answering double negatively. Yes, I did not.
Yes, you did not.
Yes, I did not.
That sounds like the other answers you gave.
Yeah, don't forget the L-Y's in your adverbs either.
You're a bit of a challenge, my friend.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
You're welcome. Now, there was another famous character.
So I don't know any famous people.
I think you know Duncan. But there was another famous
guy. He's a good boy when he's asleep.
Yeah. Al Bielek.
Yeah, that rascal.
He's pretty well connected. What are your memories of him? Let's just start at Montauk.
Don't have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Any of that Montauk period, I sure would like to, and they're probably going to come back in a time when it's just right. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, I'll get them, and I hope I'm sitting down, you know, and in a good place.
Yeah.
And have a couple of weeks to get through it and then get rid of the rubbish, you know.
Okay.
Logic says he would have been involved because of the energy field and the placement of things. And first time when I met him, there was this connection we had, which we explored and then realized through later readings of when I looked into the esoteric that he was connected to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was my brother, which was, that's kind of fun.
Was it kind of a shock?
Because of all the associated responsibilities that go with siblings and family and such. And, of course, that's what Montauk was involved in, is that connecting the dots to those who are connected to some of the dots that go out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And anything or any form or person or place who can help duty that, and that's where they spend their time.
Mm. Now, you just made a very profound statement that you accept him, Al Bielek, as your brother.
Oh, sure.
And now, is that as Ed Cameron?
As Ed Cameron, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't specifically remember Al as Edward Cameron. I have recall of being in the ship and certain things happening with a person who felt like him during that time.
Mm-hmm.
For me to kind of open my eyes and say, oh, there he was. I don't have that, and I'd like to. My sensitivity is in energy fields and the sameness or understanding the content within it and how it can identify other than a form per se that this is this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'd certainly like to, and I don't mean to be vague on it, but it's just not there.
No, I appreciate that, because I think what's most important out of all of this is that we just be as honest as we can.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about you saying, you know, I remember Ed Cameron and myself going out to a bar or whatever, if you don't have those memories.
Yeah.
So
the hard part is weighing through memories, and I can speak at another time because it's kind of lengthy.
Sure.
How people remember, and I truly don't want to spend the time into it now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many different ways memories are registered, and to get to the actual event can be challenging, and is also the same breath of the word, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of depends how someone is on their emotional framework at the time and how stable they are, depending how the memory is registered and how closely they can get to the actual occurrence. And that's some degree of mastery that I'm interested in, is to get to whatever the core is or the origin of birth or whatever the essence is, to move through all and wade through all the stuff to get right to the source of it so that I can better understand my own truth. That's truly what it's about for me.
So you feel that there's a connection between Al Bielek and Ed Cameron? and that you play a role in that as well.
Just and Al would probably shoot me, and I say that on an emotional statement.
Yeah.
I would say there's a lazy connection,
and
of course he's very adamant that this and this, and I'm not saying it didn't occur, but I truly don't have that information to make an assessment on it, to say, yeah.
Yeah, he speaks from his memories.
Yeah.
And after dealing with him now for 6 months, I've found him to be extremely honest.
Good.
And ethical. He's very consistent in everything that he says.
He is very consistent, and that's something I learned from him, because his memory is just dead nuts wherever it is. It's dinga, dinga, dinga.
It is. I thought I had a good memory. His memory is 10 times better than mine.
Yeah, he said as a kid he was a walking encyclopedia.
Right.
Which is kind of fun.
Right. So I think it's a good for our listeners here to combine what you have to say from the intuitive with what Al has to say from the mental.
Mm.
And you get a balanced perspective from that.
Mm-hmm. And then Al could learn from me and
oh, yeah.
Him and,
yeah.
And I from you and from everyone else who's listening and or the collective.
Exactly.
We become more complete.
Mm-hmm. Now, Al talked about you going to Mars with him. Do you have any recollection of that?
I do some, and I kind of like to save that.
Okay.
Because when I get into it, it's probably 2 or 3 hours down the road to overview it.
Mm-hmm.
Mars is considered a masculine energy field, as opposed to, let's say, Venus, which is more of the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And anything to do with the male, which is pulse behavior, rather than the feminine, which is more continuous, they would investigate. So in that sense, there are all sorts of similarities and sympathies that would go to experimentation with the maleness of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all sorts of things about the faces on Mars and pyramids and things like that. And I have my own research as to some of the underground.
So you actually do have memories of those trips that you guys made.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, we won't get into them now. That's good.
Some other date, you know.
Sure.
It's kind of interesting and it's very simple and streamlined and focused rather than, oh, here I am at Mars, and you know, it's weather's kind of good, and I can breathe the atmosphere, and you know, things are pretty good. It's nothing like that. It's more of a very focused, directed, almost like a military operations where you go in and you get it and you come back.
Yeah.
It's very focused. It's aligned, and you don't know anything other than that.
Well, he said you guys went on a joyride.
I got a call. I got to find what that's about. Yeah, now we're talking. This is fun.
Yeah, and you got in trouble for it.
Wow, even better.
That's right.
Okay, I got to call him.
Yeah, you should talk to him about that.
Yeah, wow.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then there was also this trip to the year 2137. That might be hard to remember, huh?
I don't equate a year to some of the visitations.
The future visitations?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, it's very possible. And then sometime numerically, I'll probably share with you as to synchronous things that have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And just numerically and this and this and this. That's kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
Well, and I'm sure there's a purpose if you were sent to the future for being there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Well, why don't we... let's sort of close this out on...
Yeah, funny thing you were talking. The past 2 or 3 minutes, I've been kind of itchy for that.
I could tell.
How could you tell?
You
just knew.
Just knew.
You just know it.
Don't know where it comes from, but I would ask you, based on all the experiences that you've had, Duncan, what do you think the true nature of time is?
True nature of time.
And what sort of messages would you give to people about Montauk?
True nature of time in the sense that it would provide a framework to understand references and events that can occur actually simultaneously, to be able to understand it then as a whole from start to finish in linear framework.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I'd answer the question that way.
So you do believe that everything happens at the same time, but we just need time to understand it.
Logic says it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the framework of the infinite to allow a structure so events can take place on this 3D level of density where the molecules vibrate between pi over 2, which is 157 to 161, the golden mean, for those vibrations to oscillate between that to make this stable. I put that in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Because as one looks into different levels of the mind, the structure, its molecules ever moving and everything is moving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, the word, it's a service of the infinite of the all to allow a developmental structure. So those in this density, in this level of density and understanding and development can understand possibly the mind and how its ability to reference and to serve a purpose for this consciousness we're involved in and to play and to understand and to, in theory, move from whence we all came.
Mm. Well said. And with that, Duncan, thank you so much.
Indeed. Well,
thank
you.
For the time. Yeah, it's been, you've given me a lot to think about.
Ah, and you too. I like your ways of just going right through and making it simple.
I like to net things out.
Oh, that's outstanding. I learned a lot too.
Oh, good. Well, maybe together we can piece this puzzle. And you know what I think is once we figure it out, we'll figure out that we've not figured anything out.
Well said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more to learn.
Indeed.
Okay.
You have a wonderful night.
You too.
Okay.